Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. It is Tuesday, November the 21st, and the racing season has come to a close this past weekend. So, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. Champions have been crowned. I got to watch every race. Didn't have to go picture in picture. Saw the truck race on Friday night, the Xfinity race on Saturday afternoon, actually, and then the Monster Energy Sprint Cup Series came to a close. I was hoping to get a few guests on, but things didn't work out. So the get to all our audio announcements were made, teams filling up for next season, people moving up, Dale Jr. retired, you know, all that good stuff. As a matter of fact, Danica Patrick in the Media Center on Friday, and this is what she had to say. So she is stepping away from full-time NASCAR racing. So here's Danica.
I can have your attention here in the Media Center. We're joined now by the driver of the number 10 Ford for Stewart Haas Racing, Danica Patrick. Danica, I understand you have some news you want to share with us today.
I do.
Please go right ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did call this, didn't we? Yeah. So this will be my last season as a full-time driver. My sister told me I was supposed to get emotional. I said I wouldn't. But anyway. But I'm grateful for all the opportunities. I'm thankful for Dale and Kelly and Bob Parsons from GoDaddy for getting me into NASCAR. Thank you to Tony and Gene. There's too many of you here. I'm really excited. I actually have something really exciting to tell you.
I can have some of them leave.
What?
We can pick 5 or 10. And have to get them.
No, I don't want to have to say it that many times.
Okay.
But, you know, I just think that sometimes in your life, I don't feel like I was necessarily pushed into this. I feel like I should be doing this. I feel like this is where my life should be headed. And sometimes we just get kind of nudged there. Sometimes it's big nudges and sometimes it's little. But I definitely was faced with, you know, situations at the beginning of the year that I'd never faced before. I've never had sponsor issues. But it made me think about things. And so I'm excited about the next phase, trust me. I'm just seeing 100 of you. But thank you to my mom and dad, my sister, Chase, Ricky. Thank you for everything. Haley, Allison, Ronnie. So I feel like I need to, like, turn my chair, clear this shit up, and turn back around and tell you what I want to tell you that I'm really excited about. Okay, but I'm not totally done. I am going to do the Daytona 500 next year and the Indy 500. So I'm really excited about that. I think it's going to be a great way to cap it up.
Take a couple questions?
Sure.
All right. Let's start over here with Jordan, and then we'll go to Greg, then Bob.
Jordan Bianchi, SB Nation. Danica, have you to your right?
You all sound like you're obviously in the same place, so.
Have you decided which teams, or have you agreed to contracts with teams, which teams you'll be driving for in Indy and Daytona?
This is not like the first time I've thought of this. I didn't decide yesterday and then come decide to tell you all. But so we're down the line with different facets of moving forward, but nothing's final yet. But hopefully it will be soon. But things are definitely not set.
We'll go right here to the back middle, to Greg, and then to Bob, then Claire.
I know it's tough for you. It's tough for your fans. But you're not going away. You're not going anywhere. We're just going to see you in a different
And I'm not dead, turns out.
Exactly right. So, but the big question that I would like to know is, you've made an impact on the sport. How do you want to be remembered during your full-time career here by your
Why are you asking me that question? I'm so emotional.
I know. It's tough, but by your fans, by your competitors, and by us in the media. Huh?
Yeah.
What's your legacy?
You know, the what I've always wanted is to just be remembered as a great driver and, you know, then remembered as a girl. I don't care if you remember me as a girl. Of course I am. It's pretty obvious. But you're remembered as a great driver. That's it.
We'll go over to your right to Bob about Packers ESPN. What made you want to do the Indy 500 again? You've kind of said never say never. But
I never thought I would do it. I really didn't. I always thought in my head never, but I never said never because I'm no better. And thank God, right, because here I am. It was really a conversation with my agent, Alan, which I'm sorry I left you out of my thank yous. I'm just a little bit of a mess. But he said, we ran through so many different ideas, different teams, different scenarios, different just do these races, just do this race. And he called and, you know, there was – I have been much more in flow with it. Like, I have not poked and prodded and asked many questions. I wanted this to all just unfold naturally, and what was going to be was going to be. And, you know, as I said to many of you years ago, if it's going to not get better, I don't want to do it because it's not fun. Here I am, not fun. So, you know, my urgency to push to keep doing everything was just not really there. So if something that wasn't really enticing didn't come up, I wasn't going to push for something else. I don't like to run people down the pier if I don't mean it. So he called and he just said, well, what about finishing up at Daytona? And I don't know where it came from, but then out of my mouth came, what about Indy? I don't know. I don't even know why I said it necessarily, but it was really the first sort of idea that got me really excited. So that was it. He said, I would love for you to do both. And I was like, well, let's do it. And then I called Haley and I said, what did I just say I would do? Do you think this is a good idea? And she was like, hell yes, that's a good idea. So that was it. I'm still surprised. I mean, I'm still like, you're not even doing anything. You're supposed to drop the mic after I either started crying or I said I was doing the Indy 500, one or the other. So that's kind of how it came about. It was really just, it just came from my heart. And I think it's going to be awesome.
We're going to go straight to the back now to Claire.
Claire Belang, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Was there an option for you to do some media or television? Is that an option that we might see you in the media? And then what about all of this? You have accomplished so much just making your way in. You haven't got the winning that you wanted, but what about it was hard? What about it was very difficult?
Well, the difficulty is just, it's super competitive. I mean, it's twice the field of Indy cars. I mean, it's 40 instead of 20, basically. It's, you know, the cars make a big difference. I feel like, you know, I feel like there's a lot out of your control as a driver, and that's frustrating. So I tried every approach I could to figure out how to make the car go fast. Was it going to – do I push people? Do I let them do their job? Do I question them? Do I ask for other things? Do I mean, I tried every approach. And really all that ended up happening was I lost my crew chief the first time around with Tony Gibson, and I didn't end up wanting that to happen. So, you know, I was like, well, shoot, nothing really works. So here I am, and I've tried every different route, and – it just didn't go as I had hoped, but there's just a lot of stuff out of your control as a driver.
And then you have Danica Patrick with her announcement that she's only going to be running the Indy 500 and the Daytona 500. Now, from what I've been reading, don't know if it's true. If anybody knows if it's true, give us a call at 646-649-1899. She's in talks with Chip Ganassi Racing. Now, if she can get in with Ganassi for both races, you know he's got a top-notch Indy program. You know, with Kyle Larson and Jamie McMurray, they have a good Cup program. Now, maybe, I don't know, we'll have to, I'd like to get her on the show. I wish I was in that room because I'd have a few questions I could throw at her. And I reached out to try to get her on the show before, but it was never the case that I was able to do it. But just one of those things that, you know, she would only do certain interviews with certain people and call certain shows. Maybe if she had called the show, she would have better success. I don't know. I don't like to throw that out there, but those who have called in have done remarkably well. Of course, add to the list this year, a couple of NHRA drivers that hadn't done the show in a while that did the show this year, Brittany Force and Robert Height, won championships. Erica Enders Stevens, when she was with GSK and then over to 2 Elite, I had her on after her first win, and lo and behold, next 2 years she won 2 straight championships. I tried to get her on today, but, you know, it's with Thanksgiving week, everybody doing things. It was hard to get anybody on. I was trying to get Brittany and Robert on and last week, and then they were going to try for this week, and then something happened over there. I don't know what, but I just got an email from, I guess, the new PR person, and they'll be on vacation till December 18th. So something went down on Friday the 17th or Thursday the 16th. I don't know. Because the banquet was Monday night the 13th, and I was trying for a show with them on the 14th. Didn't happen. But with the end of the season comes all new stuff. And we'll just have to wait and see. Now with NASCAR over with, Thanksgiving this weekend, it's usually one of those shows where being the season's over with, we'll wrap up the season, and next week, we'll see what goes on, and I'll be able to maybe give you some information. Like I said, I'm still pondering the thought of moving to Sunday nights, probably from 8 to 9. And we'll maybe be able to book some guests sometimes this time slot. And the only reason why we're here at this time is when racing of your levels go on Sundays, I'm sure none of these people want to, they're looking to get out of town and get back home and then all that sort of good stuff. So we'll just have to wait and see. Anyway, more Friday night press conferences. Saturday, Dale Jr.'s last race of his career. He'll be going to the booth. He does do the Dirty Mo podcast that's produced by my friend Steve Richards, and so it's not like he hasn't done any broadcasting. So, as a matter of fact, they actually produced the show and then put it up while I'm on. That's why I was having a tough time getting Steve on a few times. But maybe on the Sunday night edge, I'd be able to get some of these things. Anyway, I'd like to get Dale Jr. on. I haven't interviewed him since Now, I'm going to go back some years. This was a live one-on-one that was taped one-on-one for a show that I got my start on, the Afternoon Rumble at WNJC Radio in southern New Jersey. It was the only show that would cover motorsports, believe it or not, way back in 1999, Junior's first year in the then Busch series. So that being said, I was able to nail one down, and I was new to the credentialing process of various tracks and entities, so certain things didn't work out, and I had to reschedule, and then I knew what I needed to do and where I needed to go and how I needed to get there, and it was on from there. Then a couple years later, we started this show under another name with another co-host. So and it evolved over the years, and then in 2002 or 2003, we turned into Garage Talk Live, and here we've been. We started out as the Pit Pass, but I went from just a covering reporter to co-hosting. But anyway, let's get it all underway. Of course, Media Day in Vegas, in Homestead was Thursday. The Championship Four were there. Truex, Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick. With Harvick coming off his win at Texas, and Kyle Busch coming off his win the week before, made it pretty interesting coming down to who's going to win the championship. Now, in the other two series, Camping World Truck Series, it came down to four guys: Matt Crafton, Christopher Bell, Johnny Sauter, and Austin Cindric. Now, the thing with Cindric and Bell, and the race was actually won by Chase Briscoe, who was not in contention. So with Briscoe and Cindric driving for Brad Keselowski Motorsports, or BKR Brad Keselowski Racing, he is closing up shop, or probably as of now, he's closed up shop. So those guys there wound up going for a win, getting it, and they were, I guess it was saving grace. So the championship was won by Christopher Bell, but the race was won by Chase Briscoe. 19 years old, his first win. So he was, and then he's moving up next year, of course. And then Christopher Bell driving the number four truck for Kyle Busch Motorsports, he's moving up next year. So anyway, we'll go with our race winner and hear what he had to say on winning for Kyle Busch, the number four JBL Toyota.
Okay, we are going to cap off our Ford EcoBoost 200 post-race driver and owner availabilities with our championship-winning driver, Christopher Bell, and our owner champion, Kyle Busch, Kyle Busch Motorsports. Gentlemen, first, congratulations. Let me just share with the group here a few very impressive statistics. First of all, it was the 10th manufacturer's championship for Toyota. Christopher, this was obviously your first championship, but you finished the 2017 season with 5 wins, 15 top 5 finishes, 21 top 10 finishes, and 5 Keystone Light Pole Awards. Solid statistics there. Kyle, for your organization. This is your record 5th consecutive and 6th all-time NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Owner Championship. The first team in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series ownership to win 5 consecutive owner titles. So you have, over the course of that time, have led 10 different drivers to victory lane for a total of 65 series wins. Very impressive. So first, again, congratulations, Christopher. Exciting race throughout the night. You stayed up close to the front. Talk us through how things went from your perspective.
Well, it was really, really, I don't know. I don't want to say smooth sailing, but things went our way. As soon as we fired off there, I knew that my truck was really, really good. I could kind of just take it easy. Whenever you get to these pavement races and you can go fast without trying as hard, you're always in better shape because you can take care of your tires so much easier. And I was able to really run the bottom of 1 and 2 at the beginning of the race and make really good time down there. And it was really beneficial for me because I was keeping my truck out of danger down there. But those guys kept getting better and better each restart, and we kept tightening up, which I think hurt our fire off speed. But over the long run, it made it safer for me to drive, and it paid off.
Kyle, the unprecedented level of consistency for your organization, what's the secret to that?
I think one of the secrets is obviously people. And, Joe Gibbs will always tell you that, and I strongly believe in that as well, too, that when you have a great group of people, great group of guys and girls and everybody at Cobblish Motorsports that you do, you thank them for all the hard work that they do and everything that that they're able to accomplish. And putting Fast Thunders on the racetrack is certainly the start of all of that. So, our success that we've had over the course of the career that we've had in the Camping World Truck Series of being team owners has been a phenomenal road, and it's something that we enjoy each and every year. And to see guys like Christopher Bell and William Byron and Eric Jones and the talents that they have and the ability that they show behind the wheel of our Tundras to just take them to victory lane, take them to championships is what we're all about. So, I can't thank Christopher enough and him and all the guys that for sticking with us and believing in our program and for Christopher being with us for 2 years. You know, obviously this is kind of a goodbye moment, but being teammates with him again next year at Joe Gibbs Racing is going to be a lot of fun, and looking forward to see him continue to grow and evolve in this sport.
There you have Kyle Busch and Christopher Bell, championship driver and owner in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. But like I said, the race itself was a different outcome. Driver number 29, Chase Briscoe, wound up first. He started from the pole. Christopher Bell came in second. Johnny Sauter was third. And Matt and Ryan Truex rounded out the fourth. Austin Cindric was fifth. Sixth is Matt Crafton. Stuart Friesen was seventh. Grant Enfinger was eighth. Ninth was Justin Haley. Timothy Peters rounds out the top 10. Reagan Smith back in the series. He was running. for Dale Jr. in the Xfinity series a while back, but found himself in the truck race. But anyway, average speed 135 miles an hour. Margin of victory 2.887 seconds. And the race went 134 laps. Chase Briscoe winning in a Ford, and it was the, believe it or not, the Ford EcoBoost 200. Of course, everything was Ford event. So it didn't matter. In stage one, Christopher Bell took that one, and to the number 27, I don't even see that one listed, of Ben Rhodes took that one. So it might have been sometimes when you see somebody finish at the top of the stage but not in the top 10 of the race, it has to do with pit stops. But anyway, Let's see where our friends finished up. Jordan Anderson and Josh Rayon. For a team that used to be together, split apart, they finished right next to each other. Or actually, one ahead of the other. Anderson took 21st and Josh took 22nd. Jennifer Jo finished 32nd, 31st out of 32. And she was in the zero truck, and she had Ray Ciccarelli in her number 10, the Driven to Honor.org Chevy. So, and T.J. Bell, who is in the 45 now, he finished 16th. And those are guys that have all done the show. And T.J. used to be on all the time because he used to drive for Make Motorsports for several years. And then I don't know what happened there, but I guess things didn't work out. And everybody went to a different way there. And here is your race winner, Chase Briscoe, driver of the number 29, Brad Keselowski Ford.
We are now joined by our race-winning team, 22nd Annual Ford EcoBoost 200, Chase Briscoe, who's also our 2017 Sunoco Rookie of the Year in the NASCAR Camp and World Truck Series. Chase, this is your first victory. This is your 14th top 10 finish in 2017. Tremendous effort from the entire team. Talk to us a little bit how this thing played out in your eyes.
Yeah, you know, we brought a really good truck first off, and just can't thank Brad and everybody at BKR to, you know, for us not being in the playoffs and to be shutting down, to still bring, you know, trucks that can win races and sit on the poles. It's a huge statement from the organization in general. So just can't thank the guys enough at the shop to keep believing in all of us, and especially me and Austin, and especially me, just not being in the playoffs. You would think that you could kind of be pushed to the side, but, you know, we had two poles that were getting knocked out of the playoffs and then the win. So I just can't thank, you know, for them to continue to keep fighting for us. And it was definitely an up-and-down race. You know, we fired off there, and we were really good, I felt like, and Bell kind of ran us down, and we just lost our rear drive in that second stage. I got shuffled on the restart. I didn't do a good job on my end, and fell back to fourth and felt like we were pretty good right there there at the end, because I started catching everybody again. But, you know, really our pit crew was absolutely awesome tonight. And that's one thing that we have, I feel like, struggled with a little bit all year long. And tonight they were absolutely on it. So once we got the lead, I felt like we were going to have a caution, just because it seems like all year long that's kind of the way our luck's been. But we were fortunate enough to go on and win. Definitely didn't think it would take this long, but, you know, definitely sitting here glad that it did.
Buddy, you got a rookie. You've shepherded him through to win the Rookie of the Year. He's out front for.
And there you have Chase Briscoe. It was his first Camping World Series victory. Two cautions for 12 laps, and those were the stage conclusion cautions. So for the truck race to go green that long, it's impressive. And there were six lead changes amongst three drivers: Briscoe, Ben Rhodes, and Christopher Bell all held the top spot. Of course, Bell and Rhodes taking the stage wins, and Briscoe taking the race win. He led the important stage, the end of the last one. And congratulations to him. Sorry to hear that Brad K Racing is a done, but, you know, it all comes down to money, and if you can't afford it, so it's tough to do. Of course, I'm sure a lot of the equipment, motorized and all, came from Penske. Well, Roush Yates builds all the Ford motors in the field, so it's just one of those things that, you know, if you can't operate in the green or in the black, depends on how you look at it. Some say black and red, or I'd rather say green. And but if you ain't turning a profit or breaking even, there's no sense in, you don't want to lose money. So that being said, BKR shuts down on a high note, and drivers move on. And I was trying to I saw an article about young drivers from Lee Spencer and from motorsport.com. I tried to get her on and see if she wanted to call in and talk about it, but obviously that's not happening. Matter of fact, we can get her on down the road a piece, so. But she has listed that Roush Fenway Racing will be fielding Xfinity programs for Chase Briscoe, Austin Cindric, the two guys who drove for Brad Keselowski, and Ty Majeski in 2018. Now, I know Roger Penske runs the 22 in the Xfinity Series for Owners Championship, and he usually puts his Cup drivers to handle that one. Now, with the Cup Series being limited the Cup drivers to running only so many races outside of the main series next year, then things should be a little different. But if we look at it, it was Christopher Bell taking the championship by a point over Johnny Sauter. Austin Cindric wound up third, and Matt Crafton took the wound up in fourth. But they were all only, let's see, Johnny Sauter finished behind Christopher Bell. Austin Cindric was two spots back. There's only 4 points separating first and fourth, but when the series resets, that's how it turns out. Everybody else goes different points. They separate each from the stages. So on to the Xfinity Series. Cole Custer wound up taking the race in his Haas Automation Ford. And there's another Ford event, won by another Ford. He drove the 00 for, I guess, Stuart Haas, otherwise. Sam Hornish Jr. wound up second, back with Penske after a respite going to Joe Gibbs for a while. William Byron took the third spot. Byron moving up next year. Tyler Reddick was fourth. Ryan Preece was fifth. Brennan Poole sixth. Matt Tift was seventh. Elliott Sadler eighth. A little bit on that one. He was a little upset. But ninth, Michael Annett and Ty Majewski, who was one of those I mentioned that was in that article, moving to the Xfinity for Roush. Looks like in the 60, he's driving an EcoBoost Ford, so I'm thinking he's already there. Your championship contenders were William Byron, Elliott Sadler, Justin Allgaier, and Daniel Hemric. Cole Custer, who won the race, was not in it, so that makes 2 days in a row where the race winner was not in contention for the championship, so it all came down to who finished behind whom. William Byron, who finished third, took the crown. Elliott Sadler wound up second in the points, and he was upset at driver of the number 18, not Michael Annett, Ryan Preece, because they were racing each other hard, or Elliott thought he was racing him too hard when he was running for a championship. And the thing about Elliott Sadler, even though he was upset, he did not congratulate the winner out on pit road anyway. Maybe he did in the media center, but you know what? I'd have to go to the tape to find out. We'll see if he did there. I'm going to play that one. And Daniel Hemric wound up in the fourth spot there. who was gracious in defeat. He didn't have a good day at all. In comparison to the other three, I think he, where did he wind up? 34th. But he was a few laps down. He had some issues. And they couldn't get the vehicle right. But that being said, margin of victory was a big one, 15.4 seconds, 136.1 miles an hour. Cole Custer led both stages, plus three times for 182 of the 200 laps, so he spanked them. And five lead changes amongst two drivers. Most of them were all between Tyler Reddick and Cole Custer. Reddick won the pole, but Custer got the last lap, winning the race. There were three cautions for 14 laps. Lap number 20, car number 14 with an incident. And the other two were stage conclusion cautions, which personally, I think they ought to eliminate the yellow for stage breaks. Make it a yellow-green or a yellow-white, but don't call it a caution. Just call it a stage. You ought to get a separate stage flag. If they got green and white checked for the stage winner, and that kicks them over to a stage conclusion slowdown, I think they ought to take the caution factor out of that statement and just call it stage break. They'll go white and yellow, or can't go green and yellow. That would be weird. Don't go full yellow and call it a caution. Anyway, let's hear from our race winner, car owner Tony Stewart, and crew chief Jeff Meandering. Is he meandering around? Anyway, I'm just being silly. And then so here's our winner of the Xfinity EcoBoost 300. Cole Custer with his owner, Tony Stewart.
All right, continuing our Ford EcoBoost 300 post-race media availabilities, we are joined now by our race-winning team, driver Cole Custer, crew chief Meandering, and owner Tony Stewart. Gentlemen, congratulations on the tremendous race. Before I turn it over to you, though, just want to mention, Cole, we've got confirmation that you achieved a perfect driver rating of 150.0 tonight, the first and only perfect driver rating in 2017 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. So you won stage one, you won stage two, you won the race. Pretty solid evening for you. Tell us all about it, Cole.
Yeah, I mean, we just had an extremely good car the whole weekend, really. I mean, we came down here and tested a couple months ago, and really the second that we hit the track, we knew we were going to be really good the whole time. But really, this whole year, we've had so much speed. It's just what can happen during the race, or how the track's going to change, or just what's going to go wrong, really. But I think we really did a good job this weekend trying to get our car to race good and trying to, you know, just comfortable and to drive and move around a little bit. So I think that's the biggest thing that we tried to do. And obviously, our car was unbelievable, and can't thank everybody enough. And I think it's a perfect way to end the season.
Jeff, for you, at what point during the race did you realize, hey, we got a really special car and a driver who's locked in. I think we can bring this thing home tonight.
Well, like Cole said, we tested here, and it almost goes back to that test. We felt like the entire test we were a tenth to two tenths quicker than anybody else that was at that test. So, honestly, it was great preparation by all of our guys in our shop, our engineers. I mean, they did a wonderful job preparing for that test, and just obviously it carried over.
Tony, great way to end the season for the team. tell us from your perspective how you saw the race playing out tonight.
These guys had an awesome race car for Cole, and proud of the team, proud of the pit stops. The pit stops were awesome today. You know, luckily we didn't need to worry about that too much because didn't get any cautions. But, you know, just Cole did an awesome job. I mean, it's just phenomenal to see, you know, when he got out in the lead like that. I mean, he just did such a good job of taking care of his tires. And the last half of every run, it really, really showed up on the stopwatch. I mean, he just would drive way further and further the last half of the run. So he did an awesome job of taking care of his tires. That's something hard for a rookie to do. So I think it showed his maturity. And, you know, I'm real proud of these guys. And I think it sends a statement to everybody what hopefully they can look forward to next year with this team. So I'm proud of these guys. I think it's obviously it's a perfect way to go in the off season for these guys. So I'm proud of them. Man, it just really makes me wish we could have got through Phoenix last week because, I mean, he would have had a shot for sure of winning a championship. So just really proud of him. And, you know, to have a brand new team, a rookie crew chief and a rookie driver, I don't think I could be more proud than I am right now.
There is smoke, Tony Stewart. Anyway, that's his first that was Cole Custer's first Xfinity Series victory. So two guys in two races who got their first series victory in the final race of the year, did not win championships, came close. And as a matter of fact, let's hear from our champion, William Byron, who will be moving up to Hendrick Motorsports next season, driving the number 24, which used to be the 5. Elliot, who's in the 24, will be going to the number 9. Nothing's going to change as far as crew goes, but just swapping numbers out. So Chase can have his old Xfinity Series number and his dad's old number. But the only difference, Bill drove a Ford. Chase is driving Chevys, but, you know, that's how that goes. Here is William Byron, NASCAR Xfinity Series champion and Rookie of the Year.
We are continuing with our post-race media availabilities here at Homestead Miami Speedway. We are joined by a couple of members of our championship-winning team here in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. We have car owner Dale Earnhardt Jr. from Junior Motorsports, and we also have crew chief Dave Ellen. Gentlemen, why don't each of you, and we have Kelly Earnhardt Miller, who just snuck up here behind me, another one of our car owners here at Junior Motorsports. Why don't each of you three take us through what it means to win this championship here at Junior Motorsports, and Dave, especially for you, this is your first championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's very special to win the championship with Junior Motorsports. We put a ton of effort into this season. You know, the last 3 years I've been there, we've worked extremely hard, which they had a great foundation when we got there. It was really fun for me to be able to race my friends. Jason and Kevin are two of my good friends. And, you know, to be running for a championship with someone you like that much, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, their success throughout the year definitely helped us out. You know, and it's just a big thank you to everybody at Junior Motorsports. And it just feels amazing to win.
Yeah. And Kelly and Dale, this is also your second championship. And you did both of it with rookie drivers.
I was going to go there. I liked 2014 when we knew at Phoenix that we were going to be the champion. This was pretty nerve-wracking today, but really proud of our organization to have three cars contending. It was super hard to watch all three and pull for all three. And so just hats off to Dave and his group and all of Junior Motorsports. I mean, they do work hard, and this is what you know, this is what you want. And I said to someone earlier, this is real hard, and it's real hard to do. It's very challenging through the year. So I'm going to remember this when I'm ready to throw in the towel sometimes because this is really sweet.
Yeah, this is, you know, it's so great to see so many people affected by something like this. This really, you know, goes a lot deeper than what you see tonight. There's so many people back home in Mooresville that, that company, just like a family, and we all, you know, ride this roller coaster together, the ups and downs, and, you know, it's, I go in there and see everybody just grinding away and working so hard, and it's a small enough company that everybody kind of
you know, knows each other so well. And so it's it affects a lot of people. It really is it's a great thing for Dave. I watched him work his way into this opportunity, and I'm thrilled for William with the chance to win this championship, knowing he's going to be moving on and out of the series. And but I know there's so many people back home that are over the moon, and just our company, you know, we work so hard to, you know, just make this work. I know there's a lot of people that you know, are thrilled about this, so it's good to see and love being a part of it. And Kelly's sort of the leader of the group. She's the boss. Me and Rick just sit back and smile when good things happen. But, you know, we have a lot of people that are, you know, that are responsible for our cars being so, you know, competitive. It starts with, you know, all our crew chiefs. You know, we get great drivers, great opportunity to work with a lot of different drivers. But our, you know, when you get the cars right, you know, those drivers can get everything out of them. And so we've really outdone ourselves over the last couple of years, getting an opportunity to work with Dave and Jason and all those guys that's come in there to help us sort of get our cars going.
And before we open it up to questions, we are actually being joined by our championship driver, William Byron, who, in addition to winning the NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship in his rookie year, is also the Sunoco Rookie of the Year. William, we're just going to turn it over to you. Why don't you tell us what it's like to be the champion?
It's awesome. It's an incredible feeling, and just thankful for all the people that have made it happen. You know, Dale, Kelly, really LW. The first meeting we had was when I was 15 years old, and talking about running a late model was actually this weekend. So you know, it's come a long way, and just very thankful for everyone that's made it happen.
We're going to open up the questions. We'll start on the far right side of the room with Joseph and Jordan, and then we'll come up front to Holly and Lee.
There we have Champion and Rookie of the Year. In the main event of the weekend, Sunday, the Ford EcoBoost 400. It came down to four guys battling for the win and the championship. Would things play out according to how they worked Friday and Saturday, where the race winner was not a champion contender? Or would one of the top four take home the winner's trophy and the Monster Energy Cup? And let me tell you something. Looking at this Monster Energy Cup, that is a nice-looking trophy. I mean, 68-pound trophy. I was wondering if there's going to be something as tacky-looking as the Xfinity Series trophy or the Camping World Truck Series Championship trophy, where it was more of a logo with a mounted to a base as opposed to a trophy, but their energy trophy is huge. It has to stand at least 3 foot tall. And do you want to know the truth? I think it's one of the nicest trophies in sports, and, you know, I've seen a lot of championship trophies, not up close and personal. There's only two that I've seen up close and personal. That was the Sprint Cup and the Stanley Cup. That's right, I've seen the Stanley Cup. I've been to the Hockey Hall of Fame. And let me tell you, growing up as a hockey fan, that is one of the things you want to see. I might have a picture next to the thing, but anyway, this thing looks like it could be the second coming of the Stanley Cup as far as appearance, elegance, and size. Now, all they do is mount rings on the bottom of it when people win it. But unlike the Stanley Cup, the Monster Energy Trophy has a name on it, Monster Energy. And it is, you can see it right at the base of the trophy. And it's not big and gaudy, kind of like the Xfinity Series or the Camping World Truck Series trophy. But anyway, it was not to be decided by finishing second, third, or fourth, or fifth. The championship trophy in NASCAR's main series was won by the race winner, which, I'll tell you, it was getting kind of edgy right there. But in the end, the guy that won the regular season had the best record all year, wound up taking home the race win. But he did not lead most of the laps. As a matter of fact, the guy that led most of the laps, it was in question whether he just let the top two championship contenders fight it out and wound up third. That was Kyle Larson. He led four times for 145 laps. Brad Keselowski led once for one lap. Kyle Busch led four times for 43 laps. And Martin Truex Jr. led four times for 78 laps. How ironic. He led the number of laps that were on that is his car number, but he wound up taking home the win. I picked him last week. I think he kind of got hung up by Harvick in Texas, but he wound up fighting it out with Toyota teammate Kyle Busch for the championship. Kyle fell a little short. Truex did what he had to do to stay in front of him. And I think if Kyle Busch would have gotten out ahead of Martin and then I think Kyle Busch wouldn't have been caught, because Kyle Busch had a car ready on the long runs. It did go a long run, but lap traffic was coming into play. There were times where Kyle Busch caught up with Martin Truex, and you thought, come on, Marty, just block him. If you have to, if he's going by you, put him in the wall, do something, take the win. Stages were won by Kyle Larson, both of them. So I said he led four times for 145 laps, but in the end it came down to Martin Truex Jr. and Kyle Busch. See, Kevin Harvick wound up fourth. Chase Elliott was fifth, Joey Logano sixth, seventh, Brad Keselowski, eighth, Matt Kenseth, ninth, pole sitter Denny Hamlin, and rounding out the top ten is Ryan Newman. There were five cautions for 26 laps. Again, a fairly clean race. Two of those cautions, stage completion cautions, 13 lead changes amongst four drivers. Denny Hamlin, like I said, was on the pole, but he did not lead any laps, because Martin Truex took the lead from him, starting second, and wound up leading at the right time at the end of the race. Margin of victory, 0.68 seconds. Average speed, 131. 3 hours, 2 minutes, 11 seconds. This was Martin Truex's 15th win in the series. The Rookie of the Year was, believe it or not, Martin's teammate. Eric Jones was the Sunoco Rookie of the Year. Truex, with his, even though it was his 15th career win, it was his 8th this year. That's what I'm saying. He definitely deserved it. The race ran 267 laps that it was scheduled for, no overtime, which is what I'm happy about. And, well, let's go right to the tape as we wrap up the racing portion of the season. Here is your race winner and NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series champion.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now joined by the winner of the Ford EcoBoost 400 in 2017 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion, Martin Truex Jr. Martin.
Jesus.
What do you want me to do?
I tried my hardest to get here. We kept going back and forth, back and forth. I grabbed his slice. He didn't say it. I was about to starve. I haven't eaten since noon.
We'll keep you in one spot here for a few minutes. We got some more pizza over there too if you're still hungry.
I'm going to get some more, don't worry.
Martin, that was especially the last 10, 15 laps there was probably as good a finish to a race we've seen this year. Talk to us a little bit about that from your perspective.
Well, I don't think anybody was sitting down. Were they? I mean, it was pretty exciting, right? I was a little bit nervous. So, you know, all day long, we didn't have the car where we needed it, to be honest with you. You know, we were probably third best out of the four for the most part for a while. And just kept clawing and scratching, and, you know, I just kept trying to get everything I could out of it and giving them the info, giving Cole and guys the info that I needed, that the adjustments I needed, what I needed the car to do different. We weren't making a lot of ground on it. I felt like we just missed it a little bit. But we stayed positive. We kept working. And Cole had some pit strategy, got us the lead. And then once he got me the lead, I was like, okay, it's all to me now. There's no one in the world, you know, that I want to let down less than them is, you know, I was like, I gotta hold the lead no matter what happens. You know, this is it. This is my opportunity. They gave me the lead, and I gotta find a way to get it done. So I found a way to, I just found a line that worked for my car with 20 laps to go that I couldn't find all day long. I'd searched for it all day. I could never find it. And then with 20 to go, all of a sudden, it's like I found it. And not only did it help my car, but it hurt Kyle's car, the 18, which he got the second. And when he did, he was 3-4 tenths faster than I was before I found that line. And that was the difference. So just found it when I needed it. The time was right, and we made it happen.
Before we open it up to questions, Martin, a couple of quick facts I wanted to share. First, you are the first Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion from the state of New Jersey.
Jersey.
Of course, you posted 8 wins, 19 top fives, 26 top tens, and 3 poles this year. And you
eight
probably
win, 8 wins. 8 wins.
You
geez, ridiculous.
You joined Bobby Labonte, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, and Brad Keselowski as only the 5th driver all time to boast both Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series championship and a NASCAR Xfinity Series championship. And in tonight's race, you led 78 laps.
Wow.
En route to the win.
It was meant to be, wasn't it?
Indeed.
Hallelujah.
We'll start right up front here with questions. We'll go first to Lee.
And there you have Martin Truex Jr. on his first championship. Well, folks, that's about all I have for today. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you all next week. I'm Vince Bonfiglia, your host. Good day, good racing, and everybody have a happy Thanksgiving, because I know I'm going to. Talk to you later. Bye now.